Shabile Ilunishmas.
Pasya Bas
Yitzchak Yaakov. How many years ago was Shinifta? 5 years. 5 years ago. So tell us something nice about Pasya Bas. Something nice.
Something that quickly springs to mind probably would be, obviously she was a very good mother and a very good wife, as it goes without saying.
Bringing up me and my siblings, I'm sure you were very, you were angels. You must have been.
But the transformation from when I grew in my Yiddish culture, we say that a lot of parents would take it as an offence.
It causes friction, very often.
A lot of friction, but my mother was actually very encouraging.
Supportive, really, how nice.
Yeah,
that is very special.
Yeah, because you find a lot.
That is very, very special. Where was she from?
She, actually from Leicester, actually.
From Leicester?
She was actually born in Leicester, yeah. Just my grandfather, actually, I don't want to bore you, but my great-grandfather from Ukraine.
So really?
Came here. In the schmutter business, and my grandfather was in
good. You left on in time.
Grew up in the East End, but then the factory got bombed during the war.
Oh, so he left.
They moved. My mother was born just after. Would have been. What was
her maiden name?
Goldberg. The original name was Chayat.
Chayat. But
they couldn't pronounce it, so they just.
Goldberg.
Sorry, that's my mother's side.
Wow, what a story. That sounds quite like a thing. So she was nifta 5 years ago. Where did she live the last 10, 15 years of her life?
In Wembley.
In Wembley? Oh, wow. Psh. Very nice.
It's not far from
here tomorrow. Chaim Arukim, indeed. Yeah. Yes, Rabbi Isai. I saw a very nice... anecdote, shall we say, of Reb Chatzkel Levenstein, who was to become the famous Mashkiach of Panovich Yeshiva. Story is told, when Reb Chatzkel Levenstein was young, he came from an extremely poor background. He was the oldest in the family. I don't know how many siblings he had. And when he was Yosem, his father was Nifta when a young age. So this Chatzkele, after his father was Nifta, he realized that the financial burden was enormous, and his mother couldn't support the family. They were literally hungry. Can you believe it? Literally hungry. So Chatzkele, who was the oldest boy at home, he was just bar mitzvah. So he decided that, you know, because the siblings are hungry, mother is hungry, he was hungry. So you know what, somebody's got to take some responsibility here. And he decided, therefore, to leave yeshiva. It was like yeshiva cheder. And instead of that, to earn some money in a shop. So he was offered some sort of job by a kind and nice person. It was offered a job. Chatzkel left yeshiva, and he went to work in a shop. As simple as that. And he was there for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, after a number of weeks. And he was doing very, you know, at the end of the week, on Friday, he came home with an envelope, with a bit of money, and Baruch Hashem, with that, they were able to survive. 1 week, Reb Chatzkel, he wasn't Reb Chatzkel yet, he was still Chatzkeler. He went, before going home, literally from the shop, he got this paycheck, as it were, the wage, the cash, in an envelope, and before going home, he said he was going to go, it was Erev Shabbos, he was going to have a dip in the mikveh, he's going to go to mikveh, the Kovod Shabbos Kodesh. So he went to the mikveh, and as he was in the mikveh, somebody must have noticed that little Chatzkele had an envelope in his pocket, and as he was in the mikveh, somebody took the full entire weekly wage, which Chatzkele had worked for the whole week. Didn't believe that, in a mikveh, no less. Ganovim, you know, Ganovim is everywhere, and in those days was no better. So there was somebody must have taken the money, and Chatzkele goes out of the mikveh, sees, and he says, wow, envelope gone, the week's work has disappeared. And he noticed what had happened. So he was, obviously, initially he was very upset, very devastated. The whole week's work for nothing. It worked for nothing. And then on his way home, he realized that, well, obviously there must be some, must be teaching, must be giving me something. Then he realized that, well, what's the difference if I work and I don't work? It ends up being exactly the same thing. So Chatzkele's conclusion was, therefore, perhaps that's meant to indicate that I'm not meant to go and work. Perhaps I'm just too young to go to work. And perhaps Rebbe Shem is sending me a signal over here that rather I should sit and learn. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look after us in one way or another. And that was his conclusion. He went, by the time he'd reached home, he told his mommy, I think that, unfortunately, my money was stolen over the week. And I just think that perhaps I shouldn't be going to work. Hashem is going to look after. His mother was very, very supportive. And he said, of course, Chatz going to go back to yeshiva, go back to learn. And they somehow managed to make it through the poverty years somehow. But what I think about it, when I think about his story, it's first of all that Reb Chatzkele is emunah b'tochen, that a little boy like this, I think it's quite extraordinary. And if the story that is reported is true, in that really what made him decide, I suppose it is. But I think it's also unbelievable to think about, because what would have happened, in hindsight, would have happened if Chatzkele would have carried on working. He would have been probably a nice balabas, but in no way would have become one of the greatest balei musar of the post-war years. Reb Chatzkele Levenshtein was the greatest mashkiach in Panevish. Eir Cheskel was one of the greatest mashkiachim, a tremendous influence on not hundreds, but thousands of bochim, who later became father, grandfathers in their own right. So all that from one machshavah that went through his mind. So sometimes what we think is a real tragedy, a real, cause for devastation, it turns out that actually it leads to something far, far greater. Just something to think about. Rabbi Simon Mem Hei, which is the last Simon of Hilchas Tefillin, and then we're going to proceed straight away without further delay to Simon Mem Vav, which is Hilchas Birkas Hashachar. So let's start with Simon Mem Hei, Din Tefillin Tzvei Zakvoros, Uvei Zamechatz. So, the halacha is as follows. In a also lichnois Uvei Zakvoros, you're not allowed to enter a cemetery, Oy Besoichah Ba'amas, or within the four Amas Shalmeis, of a Nifta, V'tfilin b'roisha, whilst wearing tefillin. So if a person enters a Beis HaChaim, or he is within four Amas of a Nifta, he may not wear tefillin. Why? Mishum loyik l'rosh. What does loyik l'rosh mean? Loyik l'rosh literally means loyik. Loyik means to mock. Yeah, to mock. To make letzonos. What is it if you poke someone, like if you... To chepa, in Yiddish you call it to chepa. What?
To antagonize.
To antagonize, yeah, antagonize. Yeah, in a shtechi way. L'rosh. Rosh literally means a poor person. It doesn't mean financially.
Downcast.
You mean somebody who is, yeah. So, and of course, a mace is unable to fulfill mitzvahs anymore. So why am I walking around there with tefillin? Nebuch, this person who is nift already, is unable to fulfill this mitzvah. So it's like a shtech. However, mechusim muta, if it's covered up, then it's permitted. It's interesting. This is a real, real halacha. It sounds so musadig, it sounds so ashkafadig, but it's a real halacha. There's a discussion as to whether it's the reis or the rabbon, we pass it to the rabbonon. But it's interesting that this is such a halacha, which has got such a musadig point to it. Yeah. Exactly. I was just about to ask you, preceded my next sentence. We learn this halacha, we know this halacha, from a very parallel concept, which is by tzitzis as well. Person goes to Beis HaKvaros, he must ensure that tzitzis are tucked in. Now, it requires a bit of understanding, because what's the difference if they're tucked in or tucked out? Or similarly, in our simon over here, what's the difference? Shulchan Aruch said, last four words, if they're covered, if the tefillin are covered, it's mutter, it's permitted. What's the difference? What is the point if it's revealed, whether the tefillin or the tzitzis, then it's a problem, because then I'm mocking, and if it's not revealed, if it's hidden, then it's okay. What's the difference? I can't do the mitzvahs, never he can't do the mitzvahs anymore, whether I'm hiding it or not. So I don't. That's part of my question. It's not really the neshamas can see, is it?
It's for us. It's hard to build our sensibility.
Yeah.
Not for the mace.
So you're saying, and I think that's probably pshat, that it's got to do with us. Yeah, to allow us to grow and to ensure that we don't. Yeah, but then what's the difference if it's tucked in or tucked out? But then we can't. It's more revealed.
It's
more.
What about if you're giving tzedakah?
It won't help.
No, I'm talking about
Can you give the doctor in it?
It's a very good question. I saw this lately, brought down.
They're not by the actual cable.
Yeah, good. So you've asked a good question and you have given an even better answer. The question is certainly a correct question. Is that what they're doing in a
yeah, that's usually outside.
Outside, that's it. So because actually to give tzedakah is here again. You're doing a maaseh tzedakah, a chesed, and you can't do that because again a maaseh can't do that anymore. So you don't normally collect. So I have seen it, and I believe it's wrong when somebody goes around saying tzedakah tatzel memoves in the actual cemetery. It's totally wrong because I was saying it's meant to be outside, and that because that's why, because as we're seeing over here, the issa is beveis akvos oibesech al abba ames. If it's out, it's okay. The bialoch over here speaks extensively about various scenarios, but the point is, if it's near, mamash near, then it's a problem.
But then you have tefillas in the
presence. Yeah, so tefillas is a discussion in its own right. Yeah, as opposed to.
It's someone else. So
you can't give tzedakah for somebody else. If it's your money, then it's your mitzvah. If it's somebody else's money, then it's his. You can't give. I know that the Achronim discuss it, but the pashtos is you can't give. Now, in terms of tefillah.
It's helping the mace. It's helping the upkeep of the base forest, for example.
So, therefore, what are you saying? That what?
The mace from here.
So, the mace. In a sense,
benefits from it.
Obviously,
I see.
Not in a
yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know about that. I do know that that they say that, or especially now when it comes to Meron, is a good example that people has to ensure to actually daven in the Beis HaKavod is questionable, and one has to ensure to leave certainly the regular tefillahs. It is a problem. Good. So here again, we say the same thing. Shavuot speaks about something similar, which is about a cotton. What about Nebuch, a child? So here, it doesn't make a difference. It's still a loig l'rosh. You're still kind of, I can do mitzvahs, you can't. And therefore, one is not allowed, even in the presence of somebody who's unable to do mitzvahs, like a cotton or noshim, nevertheless, one is not. One doesn't wear tefillin there, and tzitzit have to be tucked in as well. Very interesting. Now the Mishnah points out here in Sifkot and Gimel that in terms of the tefillin, it's not just actual bais, but the tzuas as well have to be. Have to be covered up when entering the Beis HaKvoros. Yeah, okay, that's what we said. Yeah, so one has to make sure to cover the entire Beis HaKvoros, the entire filling by entering the Beis HaKvoros. Okay. See, Beis goes into another not related topic, which is Beis HaMechetz. What about entering a public bathhouse with tefillin? Again, we must remember, of course, they were wearing tefillin the entire day. So, you enter the Beis HaKvoros Beis HaMechetz. You have to enter public bathhouse while wearing tefillin. So here comes the distinction, which is, by the way, it comes out from here some very relevant applications with regards to nowadays bathrooms and toilets. Beis HaMechetz. Now, a person entering a Beis HaMechetz, a public bathhouse. Now, a Beis HaMechetz had three areas. The Beis HaChitzoin, the outer area. The Beis HaEmtzoi, the middle area. And the Beis HaPnimi, which is the inner area. So the Beis HaChitzoin is literally the, the area as you enter the bathhouse area. People would sometimes get undressed there, but most people there would still be dressed. To then be the middle area, which the middle area is what commonly people would get undressed. However, here they wouldn't get completely undressed. There's still a bit of a distance to the actual bath, to actual water. So therefore, people would still be sort of bit dressed. Finally, it would be the Beis HaPnimi, where there everyone would be undressed, because that's literally where a person would go into the actual bath. So now, what does that mean in terms of wearing tefillin? So Beis HaMechetz, Beis HaChitzoin, the outer area, Shekol Oimdim Boy Hem Levushim, that most people there are actually dressed. So Yecholim L'Niach Sham Tefillin, person could wear tefillin there, no problem. Lechatchila, it's not a problem. A person can still wear tefillin in the outer areas, the outer chambers of the bathhouse. Ubeveisheim tzoi, in the middle area, kind of shemiktsas bnei odom roimdim shom levushim umiktsas nerumim. Partially, people are dressed, partially not. So, en yochol anichom lechatchila, person may not put on tefillin there. However, if a person is still wearing tefillin, they doesn't have to straight away take them off. So you don't put tefillin back on there, but if they're on, you can still wear them. Beis apnimi, the inner area, literally near the water, that everybody who's standing there is undressed, a person must ensure to take tefillin off. Rabbi said, the reason why this is very relevant, this distinction between outer area, middle area, an inner area, is because what happens in the inner area, Rabbi Sai, in the pnimi area, if there is nobody there who is undressed, there is nobody there undressed, would a person be allowed to wear tefillin there? You know for sure, it's locked up with seals, with locks, with everything. You need a special password, and there's no way, it's out of hours now, there's nobody there. You're the owner. You're the CEO, and you, and only you have got access now. Can you put tefillin on there in the Beis HaPnimi for whatever reason you want? His Bodilus. That's where you want to have your private hour with the Ribono Shel Olam. Can you do it? Why? Very good, that's it. He has a status. That's really interesting. The Mishneh Berurah says in the Beis HaPnimi in Tzif Cotton Vav. There is nobody there. There's nobody there undressed. Nevertheless, you are not allowed to wear tefillin there, says the Mishneh Berurah in Tzif Cotton Vav. Because it is, there's a lot of sweat, there's some odor, it's not particularly, it's not nice, there's not fresh air coming in there. And it resembles a little bit the Beis HaKiseh. Now what that teaches us, Rabbi says, something very interesting, because that could be relevant for some of our kind of bathrooms, areas, and etc. It could be interesting, because what we're learning over here, this is an area, there's nobody there naked, because somebody's undressed, you can't wear tefillin in front of somebody's undressed. That goes without question, that's undisputed. Okay, but now, we want to know, can I wear in the Beis HaPnimi? There's nobody there. There's nobody there. Can I put tefillin on there, despite the fact that I'm on my own? The answer is, no, you can't. Why? Because they're not fish zuame.
How would
you
in a gym?
Oh, wow. That's a good application. Very nice. Brilliant. Beautiful. That's very good. So that's very nice. I think that was a very nice comparison. I did not see this in the contemporary poskim, but I'm sure that's a very, very solid comparison. So if you're in a gym, I don't exactly know what gyms are like, to be honest, but the way I imagine them, so so it's probably not fish zuame. That's where people are. They sweat, they work, the workouts and everything. So it's even if you're there on your own, there's nobody there. There's a certain element there. How should we call it? It's an element there of
yeah,
and that will be sufficient reason to not to allow wearing tefillin there. Do you agree or disagree? Sounds right.
Is there a way to deodorize
it? Places, mikvah and outdoor gym, you have the foyer, the outer, and then you have the changing area, and then you have the...
Spot on, very good. They must have learned it from Simon and Mehe. That's where they come from, I'm sure, yeah.
So,
uh-huh.
Is it just the odor?
I think it's not necessarily the odor. I think it's a certain... You use the word status? I think that's what it is. It's an area where people are generally undressed. All right, so it's got a certain status. You can't put tefillin on there. At the gym is, I think, a very nice
compare. They're not normally undressed. They have some clothing on when they're doing it.
Yeah, but it's that's the point. Yeah, there aren't poiskim therefore that want to say what happens if you go into a bathroom, just a bathroom. Could you just quickly own bathroom? Trying to quickly go into your bathroom to pick up some, I don't know, somebody is davening at home, whatever the reason may be, he's not feeling well, and he's davening, telling him really quickly to pick up something from the bathroom. I don't know what it could be. He needs a tissue from the bathroom. I don't know. Can he quickly go grab a tissue in the bathroom and grab? The answer is no, because the bathroom is no. Yeah, so lichayra, because You can see a base. It's lechoira. You would call it the same status as a base apnimi. Lechoira, it's no better than a base apnimi. Lechoira. That's what the poskim saying. This, it's no better than a base apnimi. Yeah, that it's worse. Yeah. Yeah, I hear that spot. Rabbi Teva suggests that when we all these halachos is only if it's a public area, which is obviously because of the amount of people going in and out, and the kind of the amount of people going. So therefore, it's worse than a private property. Yeah, there is such a spot. It's true. Yeah, I see. But I still would. Yeah, but generally, I think that the consensus is that a beis hakisse is no better than a beis achitzon. It's an area. It's an area where people get dressed and undressed. It's a people where people are owned home, and therefore it's not for zume, and therefore it's not so good. And there's also no doubt about it. By the way, there's no question about it. That's another distinction besides the fact of what you are saying. There's no question that we nowadays are much cleaner than they were. No racism here. We are much more, our level of hygiene nowadays is far, far, far superior than people in the times of the Shulchan Aruch and in times of the Tanoim and Amoraim. Nevertheless, the halacha probably, so that one could argue that there's not so much, not for Zulame, it's not so, you know, our public areas are not so, there is various arguments, but lemaisa, we pask in that for in a osu, in a public, a swimming pool, etc., in a bathroom, in a private or public, it's going to, the wearing tefillin is awesome.
What about the faith?
Faith.
So that's from in airports.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
Offices, there might be one general.
Yes. I tell you, I was there, well, I don't know which airport, I was there not such a long time ago, which airport was it? And was it Luton? Has got all of those rooms? Yeah, and I noticed that it's not right. You can't go there. You can't go there because I saw there. I forgot what it was, but I saw there something which was clearly an Avodah Zohar related item there, and therefore it's the better to daven in out there than daven in there. If it's completely empty, there's nothing there, then it's no worse than an empty room. Then it doesn't matter. But why? If there's why?
People of certain faiths might.
I see. Well, but there's no other Zohar left there now.
There's no in the gym or.
So you're comparing physical tumor with ruchnis tiga tumor, and I hear what you're saying. But lemaisa, I would have thought that in a place where there is what we're addressing over here is physical. And what you're talking to is talking about the spiritual tumah, and that is if there's nothing there, then there's nothing there. Lichoira. I hear what you're saying. Lemais again, when I was there, I think it was Luton Airport, Taka, I saw something which was clearly of a Zohar related, and then, you know. Yes, so very good. So the answer is that doesn't become a beis apnimi in such a context. It doesn't become, and a person therefore is perfectly permitted to wear. So there's nothing really zoom or dirt related, and therefore it's okay. Okay, Rabbi, so we're going to do Memvav tomorrow, Be'ezer Hashem. To summarize what we learned this evening, we discussed a very important halachas. We discussed initially the halachas of Loig L'Rosh, which is the concept of not rubbing it into a mace, and therefore whether it's a basic cemetery or daladamas within daladamas of a mace, when he's not allowed to wear tefillin, just like when he's not allowed to have revealed tzitzis out as well. We then discussed halachas of beis hamechatz, and we said there's three areas: the beis achitzon, beis hamitzon, beis hapnimi. The beis hapnimi we discussed extensively that even if there's nobody there, which is orum, as the Mishnah points out, nevertheless it's not fishdome kevesa kisei domya, and therefore wearing tefillin will be also there under any circumstances. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, having said this, I wish you a very good evening.